This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. On Tuesday, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions about the grain trade. We went over transportation concerns, and Mr. Suderman said they affect price bases, and he explained.
Well, it has been a factor this year, particularly when we saw flooding up in the upper Mississippi River Valley. It brought barge traffic to a halt and influenced basis levels along the river market. Those that were able to still ship, we saw basis levels rise. Those that were up north were they couldn't, the supply backed up, and so basis levels dropped. As we go into the rest of the year, that's certainly going to be something the traders are going to watch. I think with the western Midwest drying out, Mississippi water levels, and I think to a great extent Illinois water levels will probably be quite manageable for the foreseeable future over the next few weeks. But that's something the grain traders certainly keep an eye on.
You talked about this with Angela earlier in the month, I believe, where the availability of rail cars. Now, that's going to be a factor too, isn't it?
Rail is still a big problem, and it has been a big problem. There's several factors for that. Now, during the wintertime, we had problems getting locomotives where they needed to be because of snowfall, heavy snowfall, and extreme cold in parts of the Midwest. But underlying all of that has been this continual focus for the railroads to, they make more money transporting oil, crude oil, and so crude oil has been more profitable to them than grain as a whole has been the sense, and so therefore it's been tough to get rail cars. I'm hearing complaints, particularly some of the smaller grain elevators, if you're not large enough for a unit train or 100 cars or more, then you're probably going to have trouble getting cars. And that's many of our country elevators around the Midwest.
That was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. For more than 20 years, biotechnology has helped farmers increase productivity to meet the food demands of a growing population. Although it continues to face consumer criticism, the future of biotechnology looks bright. Shaunika Otterby has more.
Biotechnology is just one of the tools farmers use to produce more with less. Barry Bashu, the American Farm Bureau's vice president, says it's an important tool, which is why Farm Bureau continues to actively engage in the discussion to protect what farmers need to do their jobs.
If general farm organizations don't protect all types of agriculture and all the tools that are so necessary to continue to feed the United States and the world, you start losing them one by one.
Bashu says agriculture has always rapidly adopted technology, from the plow to biotechnology today. He says upcoming research will help broaden the use of biotechnology.
Many of them are going to have direct applications and benefits to consumers, and so we think that will benefit not only the agricultural industry but our consumers and make it a much broader picture of the use of GMOs.
Bashu says the benefits of genetically modified organisms have not been communicated to consumers as effectively as they could be, but widespread misconceptions can be overcome.
We need to continue to advocate for these tools. The seed companies have to take an active and proactive method, as does the farmers that use these products. I'm hoping that we'll start making a difference in the public eye as they start to learn the real truth and the real facts about biotechnology.
Shaunika Otterby, Washington.
In other farm news, last fall, China cut off corn trade, and since then, trade has been challenging with DDGS. U.S. Grains Council President and CEO Tom Slate says a new announcement has changed the situation in China yet again.
It effectively changes this game remarkably by asking for a certificate from the point of origination on the shipment is clear of MIR 162.
The Grains Council is very surprised at this new requirement, according to Slate.
China is asking for something that cannot be done. This certificate they're asking for does not exist. It cannot be produced from a U.S. government authority. They do not inspect for biotech traits. It's time for China to look at and approve this trade. It's been approved for commercialization in the United States since 2010. It has been approved by all importing countries, including the European Union, for quite some time now. We think that the lack of approval on MIR 162, and of course is evidenced by this certificate requirement, is becoming an undue impediment on trade.
Mr. Slate says the Grains Council is addressing this trade issue with officials in the United States government and with the U.S. ambassador to China. He says the council is also working to find alternative markets around the world to mitigate the impact of the DDGS challenges with China.
We have some really excellent prospects that are panning out quite nicely, particularly in Mexico, Taiwan, Canada, the rest of Latin America, and Korea. There's a lot of interest in this product. You know, obviously the price has dropped rather substantially, which is not all the best news for sellers, but certainly for buyers who've been on the sidelines because they know that China is such a large buyer of this product. The interest there has ramped up again. We're also alerting the work that we've been doing with Maisol, the association between Brazilian, Argentine, and U.S. corn producers, to heighten their concern about these restrictions on MIR 162 because that's also planted in those countries as well. And Maisol has proven to be a very effective voice on this issue internationally and including in China.
Slate reiterates the Grains Council is working hard to find a solution to the DDGS issue with China. The Farm and Ranch Guide reports Purdue University economist Chris Hurt expects retail pork prices to continue increasing to record highs this summer. However, Hurt also expects those increases to level off in the fall and then move lower into the winter as producers increase production. Producer profits were at a record high near $70 per head during the second quarter of this year, but Hurt says third quarter profits should exceed that record and be around $90 per head. If producers begin expanding their herd and PEDV is better controlled, Mr. Hurt says pork supplies can begin to grow next spring by 4-6% in the last three quarters of 2015. As supplies build, he says more record high retail pork prices can be expected in the second half of next year. University of Florida geneticist Raluca Matiscu says surveys on consumer attitudes about beef show that healthfulness is increasingly more important and impacts their buying decision. Matiscu says research is currently taking place to see if beef producers can improve the healthfulness of beef through genetic selection. The Beef Healthfulness Project shows some nutrients in beef's healthfulness profile have been very good her abilities. For instance, she says a serving of beef has between 8 and 18% of the recommended daily value of iron, and the iron concentration in beef has 54% heritability. Zinc in beef is 26% of the recommended daily value and has 10% heritability. As research continues, Matiscu says traits that affect the nutrition profile of beef may loom larger in selection indexes. She says this research provides an opportunity to really change the way beef is portrayed to the consumer. August 3rd through the 9th has been declared as National Farmers Market Week. This year is the 15th annual National Farmers Market Week, which Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says is a great opportunity for farmers markets across the country to host special events to showcase all the tremendous services they provide. Secretary Vilsack says farmers markets play a key role in developing local and regional food systems that support family farms and help grow rural economies. Our guest on the Saturday Farm Show is Bianca Massa of New Douglas. We'll talk about her horse training facilities in New Douglas and now in Litchfield. The Saturday Farm Show after NBC News at 6 Saturday morning and at 12:45 Saturday afternoon on WSMI and WSMI-FM 106. Reporting for Farm Director Angela Besh, I'm Randy Prange.